This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. My name is Ross Cooper, and today I'm delighted to be joined by David Moore to have a look back at the Sky Blues' disappointing game against Rotherham and a look ahead to Monday night's game against West Brom. Dave, how are you doing?
Yeah, you know, it's football, isn't it? There's a lot of other things going on that are more important, so try to keep a level head. But it's also very disappointing and frustrating of, you know, our recent fixtures, really, and just how we've got on. I think just in the nature of the 1-0 losses, it's not taken much to sort of beat us. And I think, yeah, we can't continue like that, I guess. So that's why... yeah, we need to sort of nip those little sort of set pieces in the bud and try and get a little bit more tighter at the back, I think.
What's your big takeaway, Dave, from, you know, when the full-time whistle sounded and you know, the day after, you know, the evening before? What's your big takeaway?
I think, you know, games of football are going to be won and lost like that. I don't understand why people are so upset that we're controlling big parts of games and not cutting through them or not getting anything, because people comparing it to perhaps the first season in the Championship, which is just complete nonsense, to be honest. We didn't lay a glove on anyone that season, really. We really, really struggled, and we didn't really turn up until we had to, with four or five games to go to put it safe. I think, you know, there was some shock results in that season, but generally we didn't threaten. We always looked vulnerable. We looked like we were going to concede every time, you know, attacking team came forward. I don't think we're quite in that situation here. I think we're just not clinical enough at the top end, for whatever reason that is. And we've been a little bit too leaky at the back from set pieces. Both of those could be because people are gelling together. I know it doesn't take 6 months for teams to gel together, but they are a new, you know, new set of lads playing together. And hopefully Robbins can get some more time into him in the training ground. But it sounds a bit like Mark Robbins, you know, he's had 2 weeks of an international break to work with most of them. And for people to not know what their defensive duties were last night and to ignore the rules of whatever it was that Robbins has set, if it wasn't zone or man for man, then I don't know, very odd that.
That was concerning, wasn't it? And Dean has joined us as well. And I know you were very concerned, you know, Dean, with those comments that Robbins made. I mean, what's your overriding emotion from the results and the performance?
I might leave because I'm already depressed just listening to you two talk about it. Evening. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because, like, there's potential there, but they're just showing absolutely none of it at the moment. That's the most painful thing I'm seeing at the moment. It's just that they don't seem to be trying. to get better. Is that clouded judgment? I don't know. Do you feel the same?
I don't know. I don't personally. Yeah, I just feel like I don't feel like nothing's running for them. Don't get me wrong.
But they're not running, Dave.
I just think nothing's I don't think it's lack of effort. There are on some parts. I think people look a little bit disinterested, kind of resigned themselves to defeat. But I think you take these last two fixtures, and we've like really hit the game running, and we've looked like as good as we've looked all season as a unit. You know, fine, it's about keeping the ball in possession, and I get that doesn't always win games, but I feel that we've looked really in control. We've just looked abysmal at times from some set pieces and defending, and some reason, for whatever that is, second halves we just look a bit non-existent, don't we? But I don't think anyone could fault how we've started games.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. But when things don't go our way, or seemingly don't go our way, they seem to down tools. That's what it feels like. That's what last night felt like.
Run out of ideas, and just, I don't know whether they've got a plan B. And it looks to me like they haven't.
It's Callum O'Hare. That's the plan B.
That is.
I mean, you're literally all our hopes are on a guy who's coming back from one of the worst injuries a footballer can have, other than a broken leg.
Mm.
And we're pinning hopes on that. That's not an ideal place to be.
I think it is a plan B. You know, you look yesterday at short corners. We've decided to go and do short corners. Now, Robbins has obviously said that at halftime, that, you know, it's not working. We're not getting the balls in the box. We're not beating the first man. Let's change it up a bit. But then when we changed it up, they weren't on the same wavelength, were they? They didn't really understand that they were going to be doing a short corner. So it was kind of just like...
I just realised where Ross is.
Yes.
He's in the Sky Blue Tavern.
He is in the Sky Blue Tavern.
I am in the Sky Blue Tavern, mate. I've not had any food yet. But
I was about to say, what's on the menu tonight?
A question of sport. That's what's on the menu tonight, boys. So if...
A cheeky naan before it?
Maybe a loaded naan. I think I need one, to be fair. Yeah. But that's what I was going to sort of say. It sort of feels like, doesn't it, that we're going to sort of stumble our way to January, and O'Hare's going to be the person to sort of drag us there.
But it doesn't need to be that way, Ross.
Like, no, it doesn't need to be that way. No, of course.
Because, like, you listen to, I think Dave said it as I joined, about Mark Robbins' comments last night.
Yeah.
Like, it was completely warranted, his comments after the game. He destroyed the team, put them so under the bus, and, you know, for me, it's completely warranted. It needed to happen. And hopefully some of the players see what Mark said last night and take it on board. But when he said about certain players changing the plan that's been put in place by the coaching staff, that is not on. You cannot do that. I know these players are in the game in the heat of the moment, but there's a plan in place. You have to try and at least stick to it. For them to
we
do
that... We don't
know
what that is, though, do we? He's only alluded to what... It would be intriguing to know what exactly that is.
It felt like from a defensive point of view. That's what
I think
it sounded
he
like.
He did mention, didn't he, you know, when the balls come into the box.
Set that, plays, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he did mention that, yeah.
So they would have looked at tape all week, analysis, etc. And then to go away from that, that's just not on. That's like... You need to be talked to and dealt with in a proper manner. Like, you don't play the next game if that's something you're involved with.
Well, and he's defended the players, hasn't he? You think with 13 games in, he's countless times this season he's come out and said, work in progress, you know, they need time to click. He's defended them. And after that Rotherham game, that was the first time that he sort of really come out. And as you said, it's the most disappointed that he's felt in a long time. And clearly feels let down by certain players. I don't know if it's just as simple as certain people who are supposed to be marking the near post, you think, you know, from the corner, they've just not done their job. Yeah. They've not been in the right place.
They've left their positions, didn't he? He did sort of, that's how he put it, that goal wouldn't have gone in had people have not left where they were supposed to be. Whether that was someone on the back post, I don't know. We've never had anyone on the back post, have we? He's not. But
you know why it's frustrating as well? Because we built the last two seasons on being such a solid defensive unit, and we seem to let that go. And then going into yesterday's game, we were the second in the division for the lowest goals against stat, which is, you know, remarkable considering what's just happened the last two games in regards to giving opposition easy chances to score goals. And the second goal yesterday was indicative of that. Like, that was our throwing. And we've let them score from it. No tracking back. Yeah. I know the formation at the time was some Erik ten Hag mess of 4-2-2-2. But still, do your jobs, lads.
But how many of the chances did they have as well? I mean, you know, we made a team who'd won one game going into the game who had been atrociously bad. We made them look really good. They had they could have and probably should have scored four goals in terms of the clear chances they had. I mean, that's a concern. And that's what I was saying to you, Dean. I think, like you said, prior to that, have teams really created that many chances? No, but we look capable of conceding. Whereas last year, you'd have put your house on us keeping a clean sheet and been able to go at the other end with a freak of a striker in Gyökeres and he'd do something out of nothing.
Teams last year also had opportunities, but it was never like we felt like we were going to concede from it. You felt like we could deal with it. There was this year, it was like if a team comes with, if a team gets an opportunity, it feels like we don't deal with it or can't deal with it.
Feels inevitable, doesn't it?
And for so long, we've talked about Fads being like the vocal point and stuff. For me, he's gone missing the last three or four games, really, defensively. And yeah. now I'm wondering if it's the opportunity to take him out of the team. And I'm also wondering if he's the guy, normally he's the guy that commands the most in that defensive unit. If he's the man who's telling everyone to do different things to what Robbins and the staff are asking for, then that has to be punished.
Yeah, I just can't see that. I don't know why. You know, of course, I'm massively in the...
But who else in that defensive unit, Dave, is going to say something else and not, and they're going to listen to them? Because if someone else other than Fads says it, Fads is going to go, no, we're sticking to the plan.
Yeah, well, that's why it's so bizarre. I worry about the lack of communication already, to be honest. I really worry about the lack of communication if Fads isn't on the pitch. But maybe there are some talkers in there. Maybe Binks, you know, maybe... Thomas, I haven't seen it when, you know, haven't seen it at times. Same with that Abotier. I haven't really seen that. I do worry about a lack of communication because it already looks like that for me.
It does look like everyone else is looking around at everyone else for some sort of inspiration and leadership. And I agree about Fads. I feel like he's been sort of a bit sheepish in the last couple of games and he's not been that commanding self that we've been used to. I mean, so defensively, clearly a concern. And at the other end, the other box, I mean, we've not scored a goal ourselves in the last three games. You know, Norwich was an own goal. Three goals this season have been freak own goals. Watford, you get one of those every 10, 15 years. Norwich, he's somehow inexplicably headed it into his own net. And then the Middlesbrough one was a freak own goal as well. I mean, so three of our goals this season have been own goals that you can't bank on getting all the time. How concerned are you, Dean, with the lack of ruthlessness, the toothlessness, should I say, you know, going forward?
Yeah, it's a concern because if you don't score, like Michael Owen says, if you don't score goals, you don't win matches, right? So that is a concern. And I think last night there was ample opportunities. I mean, we've got to give Victor Johansson some credit in this match because he made three outstanding saves. Like, he always seems to pull off a worldie against us, and it happened again last night. The first one from Godin is super instinctive, like he's got his body stretched out wide, and the Simic Sims was the other two opportunities, and he's made two great saves. Now, people have a go at Sims. Okay, he doesn't particularly do a lot, but when he's given an opportunity, he's made the keeper make two saves yesterday, and the third one where he miscontrolled it is just garbage, of course. But I kind of feel like it comes from a disconnect between like the areas of the pitch. Now, for my sins, I watched the game back this morning. When the defence and the midfield are together...
Why did you do that?
Because I'm just an idiot, mainly. I like to put myself through pain. When the defence and midfield have some kind of cohesion, there's no cohesion then with the forward line.
Hmm.
In an attacking sense. And then from a defending point of view as well, maybe I'm going a little bit off topic here, but I thought I'd bring this up. When the midfield and forward line have got some kind of cohesion, like we saw yesterday with Eccles putting the ball through to Sims, the defence has a lack of cohesion with the rest of the team. So it's kind of like the whole team's not joined together. Does that make sense? Maybe I'm not making sense here. When the defence and midfield are together, the forwards are not. And when the midfield and forwards are together, the defence is not.
It's like table football. We're just all in lines and there's no sort of connect, you know, join between. I totally get what you're saying because sometimes I was watching the game and I feel like you do ask the question of how are we, when we're in training, what's our plan to score a goal? And it's weird because in the last two games, we have created more than enough chances to score several goals in both games. But there's big periods of the game where everything's very slow. And I feel like, I don't know, I can't see that we have a plan of how to get back. You know, how many times did De Silva have the ball in the first half? And then there was no one trying to make a run from him. No one running past him. No one giving an option. He just had to hold on to it for ample time. It gives them chance to get back and regroup. And all of a sudden, the opportunity's gone. I mean, what were you going to say, Dave?
The creativity at the moment from through passes is really coming from like Sheaf. You know, he's probably one of the only players that is trying to pick a pass at times and make things work. And I feel like we kind of just get stuck. We get to that sort of 25-yard box and we just, 18-yard box, sorry. You know, we get in that final third, 25 yards out, and we kind of just feel a bit like we've hit a wall. And then we just bounce it around between wing to wing, which is fine. Look, that's what you have to do to try and create an opening. But I'm not sure we've got the creativity then in those middle pockets to create something.
But then you also need the forward line to put a bit of effort in when those opportunities come about. And we seemingly do that one in every five chances that we put a bit of effort in from the forward line. Where it needs
it's
to
very
be
difficult.
Like
they're not sort of players to roll defenders, are they, either, apart from Godden maybe. But that's
at least show it, right?
Yeah, it's difficult to put your finger exactly where it's going wrong. But I do think there's a lack of creativity. And also, like you say, they're going to need four or five opportunities to get a goal. So
I don't think it's even four or five opportunities to get a goal. I just want to see them put a bit of effort in for four out of five opportunities rather than the one out of five opportunities. I mean, had you right yesterday, I don't like to dig players out particularly, but there was a header on the back post, didn't even bother going for. There was one run he made at a defender, cut back inside, and then just didn't bother doing anything with it, and then just let the ball go. Like, it's that kind of stuff where I just want to see like a bit of fight and determination and effort to at least try to do something.
At least that way,
I'll go, fair enough, you've had a go. Whereas this morning, I'm looking back at it and going, you're not even having a go here.
There appears to be, and we spoke about this, Dave, didn't we, probably a month ago, about, you know, body language and sort of that perception of players' energy. And I feel like I thought about it, and I'm not worried about Sims at all. I think if he keeps getting in the right positions like he has, you know, he's got in positions to score goals. And I think when he's firing, they will go in. So I have no worries and I have no doubt that he will score. You know, I think he'll get into double figures this season and you know, he'll come good because he looks like he's putting a bit of physicality around. There's a little bit of aggression there. I think Godden hampers
him. He's grown in confidence a little bit.
I think Godden hampers
times
him.
Last night he looked more confident. I don't know. Sometimes he makes some sort of aimless runs, doesn't he? And whatever. But he does seem to be trying to get in positions. I think he does get forced across to that left, though, naturally. And it doesn't even seem to be his right sort of position. You know what I mean? Like, he seems to be on the left wing at times. I mean, he put a couple of crosses in yesterday.
I don't think that will happen when we play one up front, which is inevitably the way we're going to go.
But 100%. I mean, it feels like we can't use both strikers in an attack at once. One of them just has to sort of disappear. Whether it's almost like we take it in turns, like Sims is going to be involved in this attack and we have Eccles and Sheaf behind and Godden just, you look for him and he's just nowhere to be seen. And then vice versa. And I'm thinking, why can't we have a move where the strikers sort of play it in between themselves, especially when our whole game is get it out to wing backs, put some crosses in. We have one person in the box half the time. And I mean, the positive is that he's getting into the right positions. My concern with Haji Wright is
he's lazy.
I was thinking about this. The thing was, we had a striker. Forget the quality. Forget the comparison in terms of Jokeres' quality. But just focus on, he would have like died on that pitch.
I'm sick of the comparisons.
Tears. But the effort. But he would have shed blood, sweat, and tears on the pitch. And I feel like, I think that's all fans want to see from him. I think people can forgive a bad touch or whatever it might be technically, But like you were saying, you want to see people look like, and Dave, you said, you know, a month ago, and
I hope they can forgive a bad touch, because otherwise Jada Silva's going to have the boo boys next week as well.
Well, but I mean, I'm a little bit more worried, but with Haji Wright, because I just feel,
is he an £8 million Clive Platt? That's what I'm asking.
It's not
the
looking good.
The Kubo.
It isn't looking good, I've got to say. I don't know. Sometimes I get this. This is a really, really weird thing to say, but I get this impression that sometimes players feel like not too good. They're almost too cool to like do that dirty work. That they'll do something really, really special in a game when they kind of have it to feet and they you know can do something. But I do sometimes feel like it's just. Not that it's beyond them, it's just, I don't know, it's just not their game, is it? It's just not his game to run around and run. But he needs to, because that's like the only way that you can create pressure on teams that are bad at the back, like Rotherham.
When you play two up front, you have to play that way. You have to put in, make those runs, put that effort in. One up front on your own with two tens doing all the dirty work, really, the running off you, that might work in his favour. But
yeah.
I think he's more concerned about his image. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I just feel like...
It's bizarre, though.
Yeah, I know. I've seen posted like Instagrams and all this sort of shit before games. I'm thinking, mate, liven up. You've got a match here. You know, put yourself in position to win a game of football. Get the fans on your side. But that's just not happening. Put some effort in. I can forgive the bad touches, the shots off goal, whatever. Put the effort in, you know, work hard, do stuff, help your team out. You can forgive everything else if you just show a little bit of intent.
Well, and then it comes back to, you know, from that fans forum earlier in the week, when Robbins clearly is trying to allude to people not being settled. I mean, surely you don't have to be settled to put 110% and show a bit of aggression. You know, I mean, he went the last two games, he's gone up against Andy King, Bristol City, and then a defender for Rotherham. And both times he just wilts. He just wilts away.
Andy King laughed in his face.
Yeah, he did. And I'm like, where's Saturday. That aggression coming back? Where's him? I want to see him, like Louis Binks did in his debut against Hull, where, you know, that little bit of that nasty side, something where it's like, you know what, I'm not going to let you get the better of me. I'm going to get the better of you. Because I actually think he's got pace. I think he's got attributes there, but they're hidden away somewhere. I think Robbins, like he's alluded to, you know, we don't buy the finished article, but you'd like to think for £8 million you'd get more than just a couple of glimmers of a player. You'd like to think that for £8 million we're going to see, you know,
well, he showed that in his debut, didn't he, at Leicester?
Well, that's the strangest thing.
That 30-minute cameo is so far removed from what we've seen since then.
I mean, honestly think that day you were like, he's probably got to start next week, and if he does something like that on his wrong foot, you know, he cracked the bar, didn't he, with his wrong foot. And you think, we've got an absolute player here. He drifted, you know, like glided past the defender. And you think,
I'm just trying to see who he was up against in that defensive line. Was it FaZe and Vestergaard? I mean, FaZe is not slow. And he's absolutely gone bomb past him.
Mm.
But we need to see more of that. That, like, it's...
There was an opportunity yesterday, wasn't there? He broke on the right-hand side.
And that's the one I'm saying, where he tried to cut back on.
And it came to nothing.
Yeah. I just, like, that 30-minute cameo versus Leicester, I'd take that 30-minute cameo every game. But I'm just not seeing it at all. It's weird. And also, he would have got a penalty if he went down as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
It was never a free kick to them. It was, if anything, it was a penalty to us.
Yeah, we'd already had a go, hadn't he? He already had a go as he got by him or got pretty much past him. And then that sort of carried on into the penalty area.
But I do see sort of like the frustration from the sort of... There is definitely frustrations on the pitch. You can tell that. And I think they are creeping out to the fans now. And that's not a good place to be. I mean, considering where we were going into the international break, we'd played, you know, decent enough to get some, you know, fairly good results. But now it's just like total reversal. And maybe that comes with the sort of clouded judgment of, you know, we finished fifth last year and obviously got into the playoff final.
All of that does. Like, it's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible not to think that way. Like, but just because we had a good season last year doesn't guarantee us anything with a completely different team. And I think everyone kind of knows that, but it still makes you frustrated because you're just like, we're not going to... It's a season over. People are already saying this is a, you know... I mean, personally, yeah, it doesn't take much to get into the top six. Look at Borough. You know, they're absolutely, like, flying. But we look like a team that will limp through results, we'll get some here and there. As I speak at this moment in time, I mean, and things can change, obviously, but we do look like a team that's probably going to be in the middle, if not the third half of the table.
I was always under that impression this year. That's how I thought going into the season, but I don't think maybe 90% of our fan base think like that. You know, that's, you know, how it works. But the cloud of judgment comes from maybe miscommunication from buying £25 million worth of players straight off the bat. But what I need to do, what I want to see done is Mark Robbins absolutely hammer the point home every single time he's in front of a microphone. We are a work in progress. We are a work in progress, because that is the only way it's going to get into fans' heads. And I want fans to be annoyed at Mark Robbins constantly saying it, because that is the only way people are going to understand. We are a work in progress. And all this stuff we said tonight could matter nothing in, you know, 3 months' time if we've turned the page and showed the same sort of change in fortunes as we did last year. We are capable, Ross, 100%. There is.
But if we don't turn this round in November, December is an absolute stinker.
Well, I think it could be from now.
Well, but this is the thing. It's fine, like, and I agree. But, you know, I'm not trying to even dramatise this. The team that we have and the characters that we have will not get out of a relegation battle, in my opinion, from what I've seen in the second halves of the last three or four, five fixtures.
Well, the question I was going to ask you two is, because December is a really tough month, the next three fixtures, you know, again, we don't have great records against these sides. How much, you were saying, Dean, you want him to hammer that point home, but how long do you think Doug King would accept the work in progress mantra when
I don't think Robbins gets sacked unless we get relegated, regardless of what happens.
Do you think that, and you know, and I agree, and I really hope that's the case, that this season is, whether we finish 20th or whether we finish 6th, is a transition, you know, that the transitional year to get everyone bedded in. And then next year is one where the expectation would be from him. Because I feel nervous at the thought of, you know, he must be sat there thinking, I've got a £4 million centre-back on the, we broke a neck to get on the bench. And do you think he's sat there thinking that's money well spent on our strikers?
Well, that's
I don't think he's got much of a clue about football, from what I understand from listening to on forums and whatever, Doug. Yeah, by all intents and purposes, this was just an opportunity he got to take over a football club.
But does that not worry you about the possibility of a reactive decision if we don't pick up results in the next 3-5 games?
No, I think the opposite of that.
Yeah, I think he's fully on board with Robbins. I think the thing is, Robbins, he literally lives and breathes this club, like he does. And you know, I don't ever think for a minute that Robbins would walk away. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that Robbins gives people enough confidence that this will turn around. We've year on year bettered our position. We've come from just the depths of the Football League. Like, he has worked miracles. So I do think he's got a lot of time. And I do think that people understand that there's like peaks and troughs to get in that end goal. And I think Robbins will be one person that makes everyone feel that and comfortable with that. So I don't know. I would be surprised if that does happen, then that's, you know, really is a mess.
Well,
I was concerned with a few points from that fans forum the other night. I thought both spoke kind of well, but just a couple of things they said, like around transfers and stuff like that, it just made my mind wonder a little bit. You know, did we have the people in place to do the due diligence on signings? Was that recruitment team fully prepared for what this summer was going to be. I mean, Dean Austin joined us in, what, December of 2022? So he had 6 months. We'd lost Badlon and the other guy at that point. So they would have took all the scouting information with them. So that would have left the drawer empty, basically. It's like when the Conservatives took over from Labour, they said there's no cash in the exchequer. So they would have been basically starting from scratch. And he was on his own for a long period of time, Dean Austin. And then I think it was Jamie Johnson, was it, next through the door? And he was late in last season. And then we added Steve Shea from Leicester. Was it Leicester or Spurs in the summer? So he would have come in super late. Now, it just makes me wonder about the signing situation. Was the due diligence done? Is Doug King one of these guys that will just say yes to, you know, relatively anything because he didn't have much of a clue when he joined the club?
Or was there just a pot of money made available that team had? We don't know, do we? Don't know the ins and outs. I missed a lot of that forum, to be honest.
But, I think you have to take what Robin said as at face value, and you know that he said it's a process, and that there's no player in the club that he doesn't want, you know, and he has to green light every signing that he says he wouldn't. That's the way it has to be, in his opinion. That there's no player comes in without his say so. So I think you have to clearly, as a recruitment team, everybody's complicit in the signings that we've made, and I think it's way too early to write anybody off. I think people might have valid concerns 13 games in. On certain players, and I think certain players have showed real great promise. I mean, but that's my thing with, I think, the fans, and we know what Robbins has done, obviously. But Doug King came out in his first few interviews, 3 from 5 years in the playoffs. He says, "I don't want to be mucking about down in 17th, 18th." You know, if come end of January, where we're down in 19th, 20th, is he going to be pleased with that? I'm just, because he's not, because I felt Robbins was untouchable. And I think in a lot of fans of mine, he is. But I just I feel worried at the prospect of, if we don't pick up results and enough results to get to January where we think, a centre mid can propel us, maybe somebody else as well. I just worry. I do just have this sort of niggling fear about Doug making it. A reaction, because I think he'll want to see something, won't he? I don't,
Interesting to see what
he did say about the 5-year plan, right? He said about the 5-year plan. I think he kind of realizes that this is a long term situation with, this is a huge season now. Let's call a spade a spade. It's big, and keeping our place in this division is ultimately what we need to do. We definitely have the squad capable of easily achieving that from what I've seen against other teams, but it's time to start showing stuff. It's time to start showing it.
Let's end on from that game on a positive note. Callum O'Hare coming on after over 300 days out, and he didn't look at Mr. Beat. He looked really lively, doing basic things, running into space. And how positive is that, Dave? And how important is he going to be, to find those pockets of space to maybe bring the best out of Wright and Sims, between now and January, when we can obviously add further reinforcement? How big is his return?
Yeah, huge. I thought he looked good last night. I thought he looked lively. I thought he looked like he was even a bit stockier, like beefed up a little bit. Looks like he's going to be stronger.
I like how everyone's talking about this stockiness as if he's been eating KFC for 9 months or so. It's not fat, it's muscle.
Yeah, no, of course. But he just looks like he's, he's obviously focused in the gym because he's not been able to do heavy running and whatever. But we don't know. I mean, I haven't got his kilograms of when he started his injury versus now. But clearly he looks like, I thought he looked lively. I don't care about this whole, let's not heap too much pressure on him. At the end of the day, he's out there as much as anyone else. If he's in the team, on the team, and he's playing, he's got to produce the goods. And it's going to take a bit of time for him to get up to full speed. But
he'll also have expectation on himself there, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. And he looked to me yesterday that he's raring to go. I'd expect him to come on again next week. I wouldn't expect him to be starting a game yet. It's just, it's so bizarre in what, when you look back at everything that we've got and we're like desperate for League One, Jamie Allen, Cal O'Hare, and, you know, to sort of come into the fold and get us out of the shit. And it's like, Christ, like, what's it? It just seems, I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way. I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way, but it just feels, yeah, it just feels quite surreal, doesn't
it? Where is Jamie Allen? Do either of you know?
He's just ill.
Just ill.
Did someone say it was a thigh injury? So it isn't an injury. He's just,
just ill, yeah.
Right. Because I feel like last couple of games we could really have done with him. But yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Ross Spence on Sunday night. Like, Jamie Allen is one of these guys. Ross was asking like for someone to pick up the game by the scruff of the neck, and Jamie Allen's kind of one of these guys that kind of forces it. So not having him available.
He forces errors, doesn't he, as well? He forces teams into errors because he's just a busy player.
Have you seen this City Unseen today? You know, the behind the scenes thing?
Not yet.
There's a little bit in that about Cal O'Hare, where he's doing like these incredible turns on the edge of the box. I have no concerns about where he's at with his knee injury. He's over that completely. Looking at that, so that's.
I thought he
linked
up with Sakamoto at times. I think Dean's right. This one up front is, you know, it's the old trusty Robbins box formation. Actually, when we played that before, we didn't control games as much in possession as we've done recently. I generally think that probably is the next way to go.
But we were good in the transition during that period, right? And then we also found a different way to do it last year with Jokeres in the transition. There's two different ways to sort of do that counter. So if we can find that sort of X factor again, I don't really have a concern that we'll start, you know, turning games around. There's the abilities there.
Well, we haven't got that killer ball though at the moment, have we?
We don't have a centre midfielder who can do that.
Yeah.
And two, I don't think we're playing the system that can also do that. So.
No, I think we're sort of getting up to a point and then we're hitting a wall and we're trying to make intricate passes to get someone free. But by that time, you've got, you know, 10 men behind the ball, haven't you? It's very difficult to break down.
Okay, we'll round up on Rotherham and I'll just get a man of the match from you both.
Oh God, I was... Literally, last 10 minutes, I'm thinking he's going to ask us for a piss in the match in a minute.
Who comes out with the most credit?
I thought Ben Sheaf did well again. But like the best of a bad bunch, really, wasn't it? It's like slim pickings.
Yeah, I'd agree. Sheaf, probably one that tried to force it as much as he could and defensively was... better than anyone, I guess.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
So next up for the Sky Blues is another game, Monday night, in front of the cameras, under the lights at the CBS as the Sky Blues host West Bromwich Albion. Dean, big game. Are we going to score a goal that's not an own goal? Are we going to pick up 3 points? What are you expecting? What do you want to see?
Do you know the one thing I've always found with Mark Robbins' teams, that when we're sort of down in the dumps, there's always a positive outcome. Like the next game, like they seem to turn it on. I'm living in the hope that this happens on Monday night. There's not much hope. You know, I'm going to, you know, maybe get some candles out and start praying. But it's... the candles are for the praying, not for anything else, just before anyone else says anything. But yeah, I just want to see a reaction really, Ross. Just a reaction to, one, the negativity around the fans, and two, how badly they've played over the last two games. They have to sense that no one's happy, and they also have to sense that they haven't played particularly well. So I want to see a reaction. And I kind of, like, if you look at the last few years, we've had reactions, you know, the Sheffield United game, the Fulham game, we've turned it on against big teams as well. You know, let's not be around the bush there. We've turned it on against the best teams in this league. I live in the hope we're doing that again on Monday night.
And Dave, what can we expect from West Brom? What sort of challenge are they going to pose, do you think?
They've had a bit of a mixed bag, haven't they, so far this season? You know, obviously beat Queen's Park Rangers. Everyone's beat Queen's Park Rangers pretty much this season. But
given your five aside, probably beat QPR, wouldn't they?
Exactly. But, you know, lost in the Birmingham derby with Brum. Only sort of managed to get past Sheffield Wednesday. I don't know. They're a bit of a mixed bag. So they've got some injuries. Swift is out, which is good news. He's still, you know, nursing an injury. So that,
and he's turned it on, hasn't he? Since the rumours have come to us, he's become a different player. He's like, fuck that. I don't want to join that shite. I want to play well here for West Brom.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they have got a few injuries. But I don't know. I think it's more about us and how we start this game. And I wouldn't be against seeing O'Hare start, to be honest. And I'd rather go and see, you know, give us 45, 50, 60 minutes if you can, or 45, and go from there. Because what we've need to have done the last couple of games is get in front whilst we've had the control of the game. And that's what we've not done. So I think I said before we went into the international break, whether I said it on the podcast or just, you know, all of these conversations blur into one around Coventry City, but I did say it's never easy going away from home. And two away games straight after the international break was not ideal. You know, you would have liked to have shaped up at home. That's the way the fixture list, you know, fanned out. So now we've got a chance, haven't we, back at home to try and get the crowd behind us, use that crowd, use that home advantage, and hopefully we can get a goal. You know, because that would be nice, wouldn't it, this side of Christmas?
I want to see a box. I want to see a box. Not a Christmas box, but I want to see a box formation. I think that's the way to go against West Brom. You know, they've got, I mean, you look at their centre halves, they're just going to head away everything all day.
They're just sitting a block, don't they? They're sitting a deep block. And I think their current two up top, clearly, there's just something not quite working. I mean, who would you want to see play then, Dean? What other changes would you make then in that case?
I actually would go with Godden on his own up there and play, if O'Hare's fit enough to start, play him and Sakamoto in behind. I just want to see some energy. I think you'll get that from the three of them. I think Dave made a good point yesterday. Godden seems to work really well with O'Hare when he sort of rolls off a defender. Mm. I think that would work quite nicely. I guess, especially as Kyle Bartley. I mean, he's not the quickest player. And I think that might work wonders. And it's all about trying to dominate that middle of the park. If we can sort of keep possession and keep control against Shalabar and Yokusulu, I think we'll be fine.
Because Wallace is one of those players, isn't he, that tries to, he tries to explode. They'll counter-attack. That's what they mainly sort of aim to do, I think.
They've got the two best players in the division to do that in Wallace and Dean Garner.
Yeah.
So you just try and stop them. Yeah. Make Jed Wallace get back into a midfield three. Make him, force him back into that position so we don't have the break on, or at least it's harder for them to break. That's what I would say. And I think if you have those intricate players, if we play at pace, then we can do these most definitely.
And I imagine then in your box you'd have, if Alan's fit, Alan and Ben Sheaf.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I think if you have that with those two tens, I think we've got technical ability, speed, and awareness as well. That's something that Jamie Allen brings, is awareness. He knows what's going on all the time.
He does. Yeah.
And Ben Sheaf is naturally good at that.
He also looked like Jamie Allen that when he came on, after, you know, when he returned, that actually he sort of stepped up do you know what I mean? And wants to actually drive forward and be bold, be brave, which I feel like some of our players are very safe at the moment. Even like Ayari, these players are supposed to be creative. Just everything's very, very safe. Everything's sort of walking pace. At least O'Hare and Allen, I think, a bit of dynamism. I think that's hopefully
why we're getting stuck on that sort of just outside the box, aren't we? Because it is everything is very safe and there's not that creativity. And we do need a couple of players like O'Hare and Allen just to open that up.
Could you see a box situation where Sims is the man at the top? Because I said weeks ago, I think when O'Hare's playing, Sims will start scoring goals.
I think all three of them can play in that position.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just about like they all bring something different to that position.
Although you all remember, Dean, when we interviewed Haji Wright, he did say, I'm no good as a lone striker.
Yeah, but I think I don't think he's had players behind him who can find those passes and be intricate enough. If you look at some of these highlight reels, he's had basically static midfield players.
It's almost
playing
contradictory, isn't it? Because I think the best part of his game when I've seen him play has been him trying to make runs in behind.
Running onto the ball.
Yeah. We've not played to his strengths, have we? I do think we've at the ball. Like yesterday, there was a couple of balls we played in behind for Godden and he just wasn't quick enough to get there. And then suddenly Haji Wright came on and the first ball we did was just lump it up to his neck. And I was like, well, why are we not doing the same passes that we were doing for Godden? Because I feel like he's got that
for
pace.
Courses, yeah. Every time. And we seem to be doing the wrong thing for each horse we've got out there.
But I mean, how are you feeling about it? Are you optimistic? I'm a bit nervous.
I think, I don't know how to answer that actually, because I am nervous in the fact that three losses in a row is sort of panic stations, even this early in the season. But
yeah.
I also think we're due a performance, and we're also, like I said before, we sort of like come through adversity at times, and I think like this might be it. I think this is the opportunity to do that.
We've got to start fast. If we get even a shock, you know, I'm not even saying a goal, if they even have a sniff of a chance, I can just see us.
It becomes horrific.
Yeah, I can just see us, you know, people start to look around and go, oh, is this going to happen again? This could be the third in the row. We've got to get an early ish goal, because they just need it for confidence. They just need it to be able to relax. And I do worry that if we get bombarded early doors, I'm not sure we're going to be strong enough to withstand
the atmosphere. Just
yeah, turn. Yeah. That's the other thing.
It gets, and that leaks out onto the pitch.
Yeah,
1 of course it does.
Percent. Yeah.
It feels a bit like that Huddersfield game, doesn't it? Because we'd had that really poor performance against Cardiff and we went into that game and it's sort of very nervy. And I agree. I don't think our team at the moment has got it in us to suddenly, you know, in adversity, you know, in a game, turn it around. Like 1-0 down, you know, in previous years we've gone, you know what, 1-0 down, it's fine. We can turn it around. I feel like we need to start fast and take the lead. And, you know, because in the last two games, we could have scored first and goals change games. And then the complexion of the game changes. But it's should have, would have, could have.
I think you're absolutely right in that regards to like, we can't change it in a game, but we can change it in a new game.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, you've just mentioned Cardiff and Huddersfield. Okay, the Huddersfield performance wasn't particularly great, but then we went to QPR and turned them over.
Yeah.
Brilliant second half
Blackburn,
performance there.
Beat them.
Blackburn, I thought we played really, really well in stages in that game.
Against a good side as well.
Against a good side and did enough to win the football match. And at the moment, that's all I need to see is enough to win a football match.
Yeah. And 100%. And we're capable. We've got players who are capable of doing it. And I think everyone just needs a boost. And, you know, football can quickly change. You know, rewind before the last two games, we were buzzing. Well, really, you know, controlling performance against Norwich, we were pretty happy. You know, four games unbeaten.
One loss in 10.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know, if we can beat West Brom on Monday and then end the hoodoo at Preston, all of a sudden the whole table would, you know, look completely different and everyone would be happy. But it does feel like we need a sort of a response. And like you said, Dean, Robbins normally gets that, you know, that fateful QPR when we lost 3-0, you know, that first year back, we then played Bristol and we needed a response and we got it and we beat them and we were the better side. We need to get the crowd up. I feel like the crowd are going to be nervy and it's up to the players to sort of do something from the off to get everyone going, okay, we're on it today. Forget the last couple of games. Let's put the ball in the back of the net and get 3 points. So I'll get a couple of predictions from you.
I'll go with 2-0 on the basis that I think we're going to get a reaction. And I think I think we're going to turn it around.
Two own goals, or are we going to score?
No, you're going to run on. We'll take your goal from halftime, kick it for a ticket, hopefully, if we're allowed. And then Hadji Wright's going to give it the old shush to the crowd, hopefully, take Godden's celebration.
How about you, Dave? What are you thinking?
I think it could be 1-1.
Listen, I said last night, if we win, we're in the top half. If results go our way, and like, we're not looking over our shoulders anymore. It's mad. The table's mad. Like, it's just
the table doesn't really matter, but it will start to become a problem if we enter that December period in a bad place. That would be my only concern about the table. Well, I'm not worried about it now.
100% agree. We've got 3 games before the next international break. I mean, how many points do you think, you know, we need to get just to sort of go into that break feeling just better?
4. I think that'd be a good return. From what we've just witnessed over the last 5 days, I think getting 4 points in the next 3 games, 2 games at home and 1 away at, you know, the voodoo place at Preston, I think that'd be a good return.
4 would be it is points on the board, isn't it? It just keeps it ticking over a little bit. It feels like it's going to be that way for a while, probably.
Staying and being at home is important, I think, during this period as well. That'd be nice to do.
It certainly would. That's all we've got time for, chaps. Dean, Dave, thank you so much for joining me today. Next up for the Sky Blues is the game on Sky on Monday night against West Brom. Thank you, everyone, for listening as always. Proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. And make sure you follow us at Sky Blues Extra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.